Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Samech Hei. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Abaye identified three Tanaim who held that a person will not come to show an item and inadvertently carry it if the item causes one embarrassment. Rebbe permits a woman to go with a gold tooth, and she will not show it to others out of embarrassment. Rebbe Lezer permits a woman to go out with a kovelis and a vitzlochi shel palyaton, a spice bundle or a flask of balsam oil, since showing them to others would reveal that she has body odor. Rabbi Shimon Elazar permits a woman to go out with anything that's worn beneath her hat for fear she'll feel shame if her hair becomes exposed. Point number two, one of the three practices Shmuel's father did regarding his daughters was to build mikvahs for them during Nisan instead of letting them immerse in the Euphrates because he held the increase coming from the flowing rainwater from Eretz Yisrael would be the majority of water and nullify the river water since flowing rainwater does not purify it. Rainwater only purifies when it's stationary. Shmuel disagreed with this ruling, since he held our river primarily increases from its own springs. Therefore, there's no concern the majority of the water would come from flowing rainwater. And point number three, Abaye asks what the law is regarding whether a woman can do arama. Can she use a clever loophole and fasten her cloak with a nut to take it out for a son to play in within a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos based on a later Mishnah regarding using loopholes to save clothing from a fire? So does the Tanu who holds one can use the loophole of wearing many items at once to save clothing from a fire permit it, or perhaps it's only in the case of a fire that he permits a loophole because the person otherwise might come to extinguish the fire? And does the Tanu who holds that one cannot use a loophole of wearing many garments in the case of the fire prohibit using the nut in the cloak as well? Or perhaps since donning many articles of clothing is an acceptable method of transport, he prohibits the loophole so he will not come to carry, but using a nut as a button is unusual and therefore is permitted. And the Gemara leaves it as a teku. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Abaye identified three Tanaim who held that a person will not come to show an item and inadvertently carry it if the item causes one embarrassment. Rebbe permits a woman to go out with a gold tooth, then she will not show it to others out of embarrassment. Rebbe Eliezer permits a woman to go out with a kovelis and a vitzlochi shel palyaton, a spice bundle or a flask of balsam oil, since showing them to others would reveal she has body odor. And Rebbe Shimon Elazar permits a woman to go out with anything that's worn beneath her hat for fear she will feel shame if her hair becomes exposed. Point number two, one of the three practices Shmuel's father did regarding his daughters was to build mikvahs for them during Nisan instead of letting them immerse in the Euphrates, because he held the increase coming from the flowing rainwater from Eretz Yisrael would be the majority of water and nullify the river water, since flowing rainwater doesn't purify. Rainwater only purifies when it's stationary. Shmuel disagreed with this ruling, since he held a river primarily increases from its own springs. Therefore, there's no concern the majority of the water would come from flowing rainwater. And point number three, Abaye asks what the law is regarding whether a woman can do arama. Can she use a clever loophole and fasten her cloak with a nut and take it out for her son to play with in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos based on a later Mishnah regarding using loopholes to save clothing from fire? So does the Tanu who holds that one can use the loophole of wearing many items at once to save clothing from a fire permit it? Or perhaps it's only in the case of a fire that he permits the loophole because the person will otherwise might come to extinguish the fire? And does the Tanu who holds one cannot use the loophole of wearing many garments in the case of a fire prohibit using the nut in the cloak as well? Or perhaps, since donning many articles of clothing is an acceptable method of transport, he prohibits the loophole so people not come to carry, but using the nut as a button is unusual and therefore is permitted. The Gemara leaves it as a teku. All right, so now we go to our siman, and today's the first day in the new Choose a Siman contest. Got a lot of great creative suggestions from around the world, so thank you everybody for sending them in, and keep sending them in because we have more Simonim to go. But today's winner is Hanan Davis, who suggested Samech Hei, sheep. Sheep is going to be our Simon for Samech Hei, Seh. So Mazel Tov, Hanan, and here we go. The flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates in Nisan, led by their shepherd, who used nuts as buttons. Once again, in slow motion. The flock of sheep, that means we're on Daf Samech Hei. The flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell, which reminds us Abaye identified three Tanaim who held that a person will not come to show an item and inadvertently carry if the item causes one embarrassment. Rebbe permits a woman go out with a gold tooth, since she will not show it to others out of embarrassment. Rebbe Eliezer permits a woman to go out with a kovelis and a vitzlochi shel palyaton, a spice bundle or a flask of balsam oil, since showing them to others will reveal that she has body odor. And Rebbe Shimon Elazar permits a woman to go out with anything that's worn beneath her hat for fear she'll feel shame if her hair is exposed. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, which reminds us one of the three practices that Shmuel's father did regarding his daughters was to build mikvahs for them during Nisan instead of letting them immerse in the Euphrates, because he held the increase coming from the flowing rainwater from Eretz Israel would be the majority of water and nullify the river water, since flowing rainwater does not purify. Rainwater only purifies when it's stationary. Shmuel disagreed with this ruling, since he held the river primarily increases from its own springs. Therefore, there is no concern the majority of the water would come from flowing rainwater. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, led by their shepherd, who used nuts as buttons. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, led by their shepherd, who used nuts as buttons. Which reminds us, Abai asks what the laws regarding whether a woman can do a rama, can she use a clever loophole, and fasten her cloak with a nut to take it out for her son to play in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos, based on a later Mishnah regarding using loopholes to save clothing from a fire. Does the Tanu who holds one can use the loophole of wearing many items at once to save clothing from a fire permit it, or perhaps it's only the case of a fire that permits the loophole because the person otherwise might come to extinguish the fire? And does the Tanu who holds that one cannot use the loophole of wearing many garments in the case of a fire prohibit using the nut in the cloak as well, or perhaps, since donning many articles of clothing is an acceptable method of transport, he prohibits the loophole so people will not come to carry, but using the nut as a button is unusual and therefore is permitted, and the Gemara leaves it as a teku. So once again, the flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates in Nisan, led by their shepherd, who used nuts as buttons. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Samachov. So the simon for Samachov is a saw. So here goes. The magician's shocking act featured sawing off. Sawing off, that means we're on Daf Samachov. The magician's shocking act featured sawing off his assistant's left foot and then his right, which reminds us, a Bryce identifies a number of activities where the right takes precedence over the left. A person should put on his right shoe before the left. However, when he takes his shoes off, he should remove his left shoe first. Rashi explains that this is an honor to the right, that the less important one is removed first. A person should wash and anoint his right hand before his left hand. A person should wash his right side before his left side. One who wishes to anoint his whole body should first anoint his head, since it's the milk of all his limbs. So the magician's shocking act featured sawing off his assistant's left foot and then his right, followed with taking a proven kameya written by a proven expert, which reminds us the Mishnah said that one may not go out with a kameya that was not written by a proven expert, which implies that if it was written by a proven expert, then one may go out with it, even though this particular kameya has not been proven to work. The Gemara brings two brises that clarify what is required to deem a kameya proven to work and what is required to deem the kameya writer a proven expert. A kameya needs to have healed the same illness three times to be considered a proven kameya. The writer must have healed at least three different people who have three different sicknesses to attain expert status. So the magician's shocking act featured sawing off his assistant's left foot and then his right, followed with taking a proven kameya written by a proven expert out of a leather pouch and making them reappear right foot before left, which reminds us, the Gemara inquires if a kameya has kedusha, which would prohibit it from being worn in a bathroom, and seeks to bring a proof from a Mishnah, which implies that one can wear a proven kameya outside on Shabbos. If the kameya had kedusha, then the rabbi should have prohibited it, since a person might need to go to the bathroom while outside and come to take it off before entering. So the Gemara clarifies on the following daf that the kameya discussed was covered in a leather pouch, and therefore it would not prohibit the kameya from being worn in a bathroom, even if it did have kedusha. Daf Samach Beis. So the symbol for Samach Beis is a submarine, a submarine captain. So here goes. The submarine captain, that means we're on Daf Samach Beis. The submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos, which reminds us, Rav Yosef explained that the reason Ula forbids women to wear men's accessories in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos and men to wear women's accessories is that Ula holds Nashim Ambifnei Atmanhen. Women are viewed as a nation unto themselves. Abaye challenges this reasoning from a brisa that permits a woman who finds tefillin in the field or marketplace on Shabbos to wear one pair at a time and bring them in. Now, since women are patur from the mitzvah of tefillin because it's a mitzvah's aseh shezman grum, it's a time-bound positive mitzvah, why is she permitted to put them on? They should be considered a masvi, a burden to her, and she should be liable to bring a chatas. It must be, therefore, that women are permitted to wear men's accessories in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now, Gemara answers the brisa is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that the mitzvah of tefillin is also a night and is also an obligation on Shabbos, which means it's not a mitzvah's aseh shezman grama, and women are therefore obligated to wear them. So the submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night on Shabbos and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy, which reminds us, in a discussion regarding what practices were forbidden since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Abai clarifies that the Rabban decreed, Kol midi de'eis beitanu ve'eis be'simcha, anything that involves pleasure and also involves joy. Anything that does not inspire both emotions was not prohibited. And this explains why indulging in balsam oil, which involves pleasure but not joy, was not prohibited. So the submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy, after his wife cursed him out for being a cheapskate and he lost a fortune. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yavo said, and some say a Tana taught in a Braisa, that the three things that bring a person to poverty are urinating before one's bed, treating the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim lightly, and being cursed by one's wife in one's presence. Regarding Netilas Yadayim, Rav Chisda said he washed his hands with full handfuls of water and was given full handfuls of prosperity. Rava clarifies that the case of a wife cursing is where she is cursing her husband due to the husband having enough money to buy her jewelry, but he doesn't. Daf Samech Gimel, so the simon for Samech Gimel are segues. So here goes. The Yeshiva Barchim on segues, that means we're on Daf Samech Gimel. The Yeshiva Barchim on segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, which reminds us, the Mishnah state the Rebbe Eliezer holds that weapons are considered takshitin ornaments and therefore can be worn on Shabbos. The Chachamim disagree and say that weapons are a ganai, they're a disgusting thing, not an ornament, and therefore they may not be worn on Shabbos. Their proof of this is that we find a nevuah that states, "Yisal goy el goy cherev, yamadu al milchama." Nation will not lift sword against nation, and war will not be taught anymore. By the fact that weapons will be destroyed in the times of Mashiach, we see that they're disgusting and not ornaments. In the Gemara, Rebbe Eliezer answered that the weapons are going to be destroyed because at that point they will no longer be needed, not because they're a ganai. So the Yeshiva Barchim and segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, telling their mothers they were practicing for the times of Mashiach, which reminds us, Shmuel holds, Ein bein olam hazeh l'umas Mashiach el shibud goyas b'levad. There is no difference between the world and the days of Mashiach except that there will be no more subjugation of the Jewish people in exile. As it states in the Pasuk, Ki lo yachto al evyom mikerva aretz, for the poor will not cease from the midst of the land. Weapons will still exist in the times of Mashiach. The prophecy about weapons not existing in the future, as well as all the other nebuahs about the future, was referring to a later period of time, the time of Olam Haba. And the Marsha understands Olam Haba here to mean during the time of Tchias HaMesim, of resurrection of the dead, when there will be a physical type of existence. So the Yeshiva Barchim on segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, telling the mothers they were practicing from the times of Mashiach, and they needed their leg garters to hold out their stockings. Which reminds us the Mishnah state that a beard is tahor and one can go out wearing it on Shabbos. The Gemara explains that a beard is a leg garter, a band worn on the calf of the leg to hold up stockings. Rashi explains that the beard is tahor, meaning it's not susceptible to tumah, because it does not directly serve the woman. Rather, it's only a kli that is there to serve another kli. Its purpose is to hold up the stockings. She's permitted to wear it on Shabbos since there's no concern she'll take it off to show a friend, because then her leg will become uncovered. Daf Samach Dalad. So we've done some simon surgery here on Samach Dalad, based on the excellent input of Zichru member Adam Pastor, pointing out secret is hard to kind of get down because it's a concept, and I fully agree, I had a difficult time with this. So he came up with secret agent, which I think is excellent. So Samach Dalad is going to become secret agent to make it a little bit easier. So here goes. The secret agent sackcloth. Secret agent, that means we're on Daf Samach Dalad. The secret agent's sackcloth made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a braisa which lists articles in makabel tumah from a dead sheretz. Included in this list is sock, which is made from goat's hair that is spun into coarse thread. The braisa additionally teaches that just as sock, which is mentioned straight out in the Torah, that's makabel tumah from a sheretz, is made from spun and woven thread, so too only items that are made from spun and woven thread are makabel tumah from a sheretz. This would exclude ropes and measuring strings from being makabel tumah, since they're made from goat's hair that has been twisted but not spun. So the secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, was where the atonement gift was kept, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the pasuk in the parsha when the army returns from the battle against Midian, that says, "V'yiksav Moshe al pekudei achal." Moshe was angry with the commanders of the army and seeks to understand what made him angry. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravu that when Moshe saw the commanders offer an atonement gift, he suspected perhaps the soldiers that fought in the campaign had sinned with the women. So the warriors explained to Moshe that even though they did not sin with the Menos Midian, they sought to bring a kapara for the improper thoughts. So the secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, was where the atonement gift was kept, hidden under cloths that got wet on Shabbos, nestled away in the Chadri Chadarim. Which reminds us, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, Kol makum she'asur chachamif neymar s'ayin, afil b'chadri chadarim asur, wherever the Rabbanim prohibited an act because you're concerned it gives the appearance of wrongdoing, the act is prohibited even in one's most private chambers. The Gemara explains that this rule is subject to a Machlokas Tanaim brought in a Braisa. According to one opinion, if one's clothes became soaked with rainwater on Shabbos, one may spread them out to dry in a secluded area, but not in an area open to public view, lest people suspect they wash them on Shabbos. So this Tana does not hold the rule of Afil b'chadri chadarim. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon forbid one to do so even in the secluded area because they do hold of Afil b'chadri chadarim. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Number 1, which daf do we have the question whether Maris Ayin applies even b'chadri chadarim? That's on daf Samach Dalet. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn what the criteria is to be a proven kameya? That's on daf Samach Aleph. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the activities that were prohibited were activities that encompass both Tanug and Simcha? That's on daf Samach Beis. Great. Number 4, which daf do we have the question whether flowing rainwater from Eretz Yisrael impacts the Tevilah in the Euphrates? That's on daf Samach Hei. Great. Number 5, which daf do we learn the right comes before the left? That's on daf Samach Aleph. Great. Number 6, which daf do we have the question whether weapons are considered takshitin or aganai in terms of wearing on Shabbos? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 7, which daf do we learn that only spun and woven goat's hair is makabel tumah from a sheretz? That's on daf Samach Dalet. Great. Number 8, which daf do we have the question or machlokas tanaim whether a woman can wear an ear shel zahav? That's on daf Nuntes. Good. Number 9, which daf do we have the question regarding a loophole of using a nut as a button to carry out into Rishus Rabim? That's on daf Samach Hei. Good. And finally, number 10, which daf do we have the question if kameyas have kedusha? That's on daf Samach Aleph. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Which daf do we learn that Rav Sheshe was able to determine when the king was passing by because of the silence? That's on daf Nunches. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that there are times, depending on the amount you eat, that one would make a motzi on Pasa Baba Kisni? That's on daf Membeis. Good. And finally, number 3, which daf do we have the background on when Havdal was said, whether it's during Tefillah or after on a coast? That's on daf Lama Gimel. Great. All right, that concludes the pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.